Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. This is the number one rated Phil Henry Show. The name is spelled H-E-N-D-R-I-E. What if R.C. Collins, Margaret Gray, Harvey Wireman, Doug Danger, what if they could all say whatever popped into their mind without the fear of the FCC coming down with its iron boot? Well, on January 1st, the Tournament of Roses Parade will be broadcast, or should I say webcast, as you have never heard it before. That's right. New Year's Day, the Phil Henry Show features a special uncensored and unedited live internet audio webcast of the Tournament of Roses Parade. Complete with all of our favorite guests, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to hear our show without limits. You can listen via the internet for $4.95. Go to www.philhenryshow.com for details. www.philhenryshow.com for details. 1-800-449-8686. As you know, we, before our break, asked you to call with your impressions of what we might do to begin to shore up our security around the world. We asked your opinion concerning the USS Cole, which, as you know, was attacked in Yemen. And the USS Cole, by the way, got a hero's welcome at Norfolk Naval Station in Virginia on Sunday. And perhaps there's some of the crew listening to us right now, so God bless you and thank God you guys are okay. But we did ask before the break what you think, how America might deal with the threat of terrorism on an international scale. Let's go to take some of your phone calls right now. Alhambra, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, Phil. How are you?
Good.
Yes, sir. I was calling in to talk to you about...
Yes, about the coal?
About the naval ship that was attacked, sir.
Go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Well, Mr. Henry, I'm calling in as a representative of some 1,000 Korean War naval vets, and we were with the Naval Pacific Fleet and three Eastern Pacific flotillas. And I want to say that I take my hat off to the young men and women of the Cole. And these are wonderful kids from the USS Cole, and we join with the rest of the country in thanking them for their service to the United States. And we as Korean War veterans say, job well done to all of them. And the only problem that I would have with any of this, and it's not really a problem, it's just a comment, is that I got back from Korea after sticking my nose in the stuff for some 2 years. And it's okay if no one gave me a hero's welcome, because we, you know... We take our hats off to the kids.
Okay, sir. I appreciate that. You mentioned being a Korean War veteran.
Yes, sir.
And no one gave you a hero's welcome?
Well, I stepped off the boat back in 52 when the Korean War deal finally, mercifully came to an end. But that was a long time ago. And we say to the wounded kids, thank you. I say thank you because no one said thank you to me. You see,
all right, nobody said thank you. You're saying thank you to the kids on the coal.
Yeah, because no one said thank you to me, you know. No one said thank you, Lloyd, for sticking your neck out and putting yourself in harm's way for the United States of the United States of America. And that's all I'm saying.
You're saying what? You're saying that no one...
I'm saying thank you to the kids on the coal because no one said thank you to me. And it's kind of interesting. All you have to do to be a hero in today's Navy, I guess, is to, you know, sleep in your bunk and then have someone blow your rear end out of it.
And, well, sir, I don't think that that's fair.
Huh?
I don't think that's fair to say the only way, all you have to do to be a hero in today's Navy is to sleep in your bunk and have someone blow you up, huh?
Well, but and then they welcome you home like you're Neil Armstrong. And all you did was sit on the edge of your bunk and pick the lint out from between your toes. And the next instant, somebody is blowing you halfway.
But look, there were young men and women who were, some were killed, some seriously injured.
Mr. Henry, please don't get me wrong. I appreciate what these young people have done.
Well, you're bringing up an interesting point, albeit I think you're sort of missing the point.
Sir, please don't lecture to me. I'm a Korean War veteran. And I stuck my neck out in Korea, 1950, 1952. And
I know, but you're also saying thank you to these kids. What, you're also saying thank you to the kids?
And when you say kids, what do you mean?
USS Cole?
Oh, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you to them. And
all right, you know, you're making an interesting point here about the Cole, and do you have a moment?
Yes, sir.
All right, I want to give our phone number out, 1-800-449-8686. Here's a veteran who thinks that these kids who are coming back from the SS Cole should be thanked, correct?
Yes, I do.
And as a veteran, you appreciate what they've done.
Yeah, except nobody gave me, no one gave me a welcome. See, all I'm saying to you, Mr. Henry, is...
With every time you say something about the kids of the USS Cole, you're saying something about nobody gave you a welcome home.
But me, Mr. Henry, I'm sitting out there waiting for a Korean MiG to drop, and drop one into the side, and I didn't have so much as a thank you very much or a fine how do you do. Okay, sir.
Are you saying that you wanted a welcome?
No. I'm saying there's a difference between catching your beauty sleep or having to handle some 88 shells, you know, giving it to the gunner's mate, and then turn around and you put your fingers in your ears. And then...
Okay, so what you did in Korea and what these kids did on the Cole, you're better than them?
Sir, I didn't say that...
Well, yes, you are, because that's what you've been saying to me for the last 15 minutes. And
I wasn't catching my beauty sleep, that's all I'm saying. I was on a...
Do you like what these kids at on the SS Cole did for this country, or do you not?
Sir, I won't be spoken to as if I'm a kid.
All right, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you appreciate what you...
I said that I take my head off to those young people on the USS Cole. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
But what?
But nothing.
So you're unequivocally and without qualification, take your hat off to the kids on the USS Cole.
I say it, all I'm saying to you is that...
Here we go.
Here we go what?
Now you're going to qualify it.
I'm saying that I was on a ship, Mr. Henry. I wasn't catching my winks laying in a bunk. Maybe got my hand down there with Mrs. Thumb and her four daughters. And
okay, so now you're saying that those kids were on the coal with their hands in their pants. And
no, sir, I am not, and I resent violently you're trying to characterize this as it...
No, I think you're the guy that said Mrs. Thumb and her four daughters. I think you're the guy that said...
Mr. Henry, I...
Do you appreciate what they did?
Sir, I serve my country and...
Do you appreciate what the kids did on that ship?
I said that I did.
Okay. But you've been qualifying it.
No, I have not. I'm just saying, like the Arizona. Do you remember the Arizona?
The USS Arizona?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
I'm just saying there's a difference between handling 88 shells and putting your fingers in your ear and watching us, you know, lay some on the shore and catching your beauty rest. Those boys on the Arizona who lost their lives, you know, it didn't take a lot. They were having themselves a little nap.
Oh, I see. So the guys in the Arizona were having a nap, too, during Pearl Harbor. Is that right?
Mr. Henry, I honor what our young men did at Pearl Harbor.
But in the same breath, you're saying that they were catching a nap, bagging some Z's.
I'm just saying there's two ways to be a hero in the Navy. You can earn it, or you can...
They didn't earn it?
You know, you're twisting my words.
Hold on. I'm going to give you the opportunity to back up what you're saying.
Sir, I have been backing up.
No, you haven't. You're talking about the USS Arizona and the coal, and these guys are bagging their beauty rest, and you're out there, Mrs. Thumb and her four daughters. 1-800-449-8686. So this guy's a Korean War vet, Mike? And he says nobody gave him a parade, but they're giving a parade for these guys on the coal. Is that it? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Hey, Lloyd, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're a Korean War veteran, and you got off the boat in 1952, and nobody gave you a parade, huh?
Look, I'm not calling in complaining about that. I'm glad these kids from the USS Cole got a lot of adulation. I'm just saying I got off the boat in 1952, And I didn't see anybody kissing my rear end. And I thought,
well, what were you saying about the guys on the USS Arizona? Forget about the coal. Now you talk about the Arizona that was sunk in Pearl Harbor.
Right.
And they were getting their beauty sleep?
Well, I mean, the Arizona was, that's a terrible thing that happened, okay? But those guys went to the bottom of the harbor before they even brushed their teeth, you know?
So therefore what?
They were, you know, bagging their, you know, getting their beauty rest.
The guys on the USS Arizona were getting their beauty sleep.
Yeah. And I was over on the, in the Korean.
What were you guys doing in Korea anyway? What was the Navy doing in Korea?
Listen, mister, we were.
What were you doing?
We were blockading some ports, and we were out there in case the stuff got heavy.
So you guys weren't doing anything, right?
No, no. I think there's a difference between fighting a war and playing dominoes. That's all I'm saying.
And the guys on the SS Cole were playing dominoes, and you were out fighting a war.
And the guys on the Arizona. I think there's a big difference, Mr. Hendry. But I think there's a big difference between fighting a war and playing go fish for your shore leave money.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Lakewood on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
No, I was just saying that that guy doesn't know if he got off the boat in 52 or 72. Now, you know, these guys don't join the military
about?
For, you know, to get these parades. If they get a parade, that's great. They're, you
that's
know,
fine.
Joining to defend our country.
Well, nobody gave me a parade.
Yeah, you don't need a parade. That's not what you join for.
Well, and you're right. You're absolutely right. But as long as they're giving out parades, why don't they make with a parade for what I did? I wasn't playing domino.
Yeah, I'm not saying these guys deserve a medal. You know, they weren't doing anything as far as fighting. But, you know, so what if they got a parade, you know?
Well, look.
They're lucky they all didn't die.
Let me ask you a question. You're sitting on your bunk and you're cleaning lint from between your toes. And the next minute they're giving you a parade?
Yeah, they're giving you a parade. You know, those kids are there.
What's that all about?
In case war breaks out. And war broke out. Just
look, the only thing that broke out over there was their faces. And
all right, then what, are you trying to be funny?
No, I'm saying that, look, God bless them. God bless them. Were you in the service, sir?
No, I wasn't in the service.
Well, I say God bless everyone that was in the service. I'm just saying as long as they're dishing out parades for guys that are, you know, shaving their underarms, they should have given me a little something.
Yeah,
well, you know what they didn't give you?
Not about anybody else, right?
It's about a lot of guys that were over in Korea, and we didn't.
Now, you know, I happen to know that a lot of the guys in Korea did get parades, and they did.
Well, they didn't have the really good ones that they had in World War II.
They didn't have the money back then.
They had the money for WW2. Why didn't I get a really good parade?
Now, wait a minute. They gave parades to the Korean guys.
But they didn't have the big ones.
What do you mean the big ones, man?
What are you laughing at?
You didn't have
a big
one either.
Yeah, okay.
All right, you guys.
All right, thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. What do you mean?
I'm talking about, you remember when Neil Armstrong went to the moon?
Yeah.
What about that?
That's a big ticker tape deal that they do in New York, man. I don't know whether that's got anything to do with that.
Well, they gave it for the Doughboys when they come back from World War. Was it one?
Yeah, that was World War One.
I was out of town on the day of the Little Korea Parade. Otherwise, I would have been there.
St. Louis on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Sir, if I had been alive back during Korea and when you came home from the war, I would have kissed your ass for you. But the point is, that was wartime.
But I fought in a war,
and
these guys are playing dominoes on their bunks.
Men and women were expected to die because that was wartime. What happened to those 17 young men on that ship was a total tragedy. It's peacetime.
Oh, it's not a tragedy when a guy gets...
They're not expected to die now.
Oh, I see. Will they let us know?
When someone dies during peacetime, it's not just a tragedy for the country, but for the whole world.
How come they let them get a parade just for picking lint out of their toes? Hello?
They were there on duty. They were on duty. They were ready in case of.
Well, when you say there were the
but it was peacetime. There was no need for them to be on their
duty. They were standing in a chow line. How's that being
on
duty?
On a chow line. Honey, I've got a cousin
that fought in
Vietnam.
You have a cousin that died in Vietnam?
I have a cousin that fought in Vietnam.
Was he standing on a chow line for 4 years?
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
But when he came out, he spent the next 7 years standing in a chow line in a VA hospital.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that a guy that fights for his country is one thing, but a guy that...
And that's what they signed up to do, was to fight and die for their country.
But a guy that's
changing... They signed up with the expectation that they might one day die.
A guy that's changing the oil in a motor pool isn't the guy that I give a parade for.
So when my
Wait. You started out saying that it was you liked the fact that they had a parade.
Yes, I do.
Well, then what are you talking about, man?
I didn't get a parade. They gave us a little tiny parade.
We went straight from Korea into Vietnam. We had no time, no money for a parade.
Well, wait a second. They gave a parade to the guys in WW2 that had a marching band and a float and everything.
That was VJ Day.
There was no float. They didn't have any...
maybe they didn't have the money for a float.
Oh, get out of here. President Eisenhower was loaded. He was loaded with...
As I recall, that's when welfare started.
How old are you?
I'm 37, sir.
Oh,
how old are you?
You can't even remember the last time you blew your nose.
All right,
look. thank you very much, ma'am, for your call.
No, I'm serious. These kids...
What you're basically saying out of one side of your mouth is I'm very thankful for the kids on the call. The other side of the mouth is you didn't get a parade, and they got a parade. And what do you mean they had a float?
They had a float in the WW2 parade, and they didn't have one in the Korea parade.
And you were out of town.
On that day, yes.
Here is Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, sir. I'm listening to your program coming back from Pittsburgh from my civilian job. I'm currently a captain in the National Guard in Pennsylvania. And I was a Gulf War veteran as well. And my father was an infantryman in Vietnam as well. I think this gentleman is just displaying the...
I'm just saying, how about somebody giving me a little, a kiss on the rear end?
Well, the Korean War veteran basically pushed aside after the war itself.
You got it.
Until very recently. Although, sir, even though you deserve...
And you guys in the Gulf, man, you got the biggest damn parade I ever saw. You went right down the middle of, what do you call that street?
Right, yes, sir, but my father... eventually killed himself due to service in Vietnam due to post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Say what? What'd you say?
I said my father eventually took his own life due to his service in Vietnam due to post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Oh, that's a bunch of baloney, that post-traumatic stress bullcrap.
Did you hear what this man just said?
What?
Yes, sir.
He said that his father killed himself due to post-traumatic stress.
Well, you know what Patton did? Some guy tried to pull that. He slugged the guy.
The guy just said his father killed himself.
Huh?
I apologize, sir, because I have an elderly caller here.
Killed himself for why?
He saw a little too much combat in Vietnam, sir. He was an infantryman, an airborne infantryman.
He saw too much what?
Combat.
Poontang.
Oh, come on, man. You're hearing what he's saying?
I can't...
The man said that...
Well, his father missed a damn good parade, I'll tell you that. And there are...
In Vietnam, huh? Nobody gave those guys a Vietnam parade. Thank you for your call. What are you trying to do? What are you...
Sir, I served my country...
Yeah, good. Fort Lauderdale on the Phil... hold on for a minute. Fort Lauderdale on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, this is Fort Lauderdale.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, what makes the difference between getting... If I'm packed out in my tent and I'm not out on active duty, but I'm in for 7 days, I used to be on 24, off 12... on for 3 days straight and then off again for two.
What war was this?
What is the difference, Vietnam War, what is the difference between me getting shot while my troop transport's taking me back to my plane or while I'm out in the field? What is the difference if I'm sleeping or if in my case I was on an RC-135 Air Force
reconnaissance? Well, in the one instance, you're playing dominoes.
And all right, I'm going to ask the gentleman, Fort Lauderdale.
Hold on, sir.
I'll get back to you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. Your name's Lloyd, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, Lloyd is a Vietnam veteran. He called our show. He wanted to say thank you to the men and women of the USS Cole, who were the victims of that terrorist bombing. But you're trying to say, and I think you're trying to be polite, but at the same time, I don't think you're making a very good case for yourself.
Look, Mr. Henry, all I'm saying is that I think that if somebody's going to give you a parade, I think you better have at least gotten your gun out from underneath your bunk. I think that if you're going to get a parade, you at least have gotten one round in the chamber of your rifle. But I don't think anybody should get a parade who is in the infirmary getting Preparation H put on their...
You don't know that any of that was going on. It was...
Well, I made a rating system to tell if vets get parades or not. 20 or more kills, you get a ticker tape. If you kill 10 to 19 people, you get a float in the band. If you kill 1 to 10 people, you get a band. But if you're just sitting there playing dominoes, an ice cream cone.
And okay, man. So, in other words, the people on the call get the ice cream cone.
You bet.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Frankfort, New York on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I just would like to say that I would like to set the record straight as far as what the Navy played, Korea.
An ice cream cone?
The Navy...
You think those guys on the call ought to get an ice cream cone?
The Navy certainly did their job in
Hello.
Korea.
Hello.
If anybody was in at the Incheon invasion,
you're
where
darn
I was,
right.
and taking the landing craft and driving in over the seawalls to
you
drop off the troops. And again, I was at Hungnam in North Korea when we evacuated 105,000 troops.
Who's that?
And 5,000 of them were the Marines at Chozen Reservoir.
You
and the most
got
memorable
it.
Experience I've ever had was having these guys hug and kiss you when you picked them up off the beaches. They were frozen,
I remember reading about that.
And they were hurting bad. And believe
you
me,
you weren't there?
It was an experience.
Don't you think we should have got a parade, buddy?
It was a privilege. It was
buddy.
Privilege to have served, not looking for any credit.
Hey, buddy.
And we've done our job.
All right, sir, we're not having a speech here. Are you listening to anything anybody else is saying to you?
Well, I'm trying to get some
I understand that. But you, Lloyd, you're interrupting this guy.
No, I just want to know if did you get a parade?
I didn't look. We didn't look for any parade. We weren't looking for
I was
parade.
Looking for one. I didn't see one.
No, that's the last thing in the world any of us wanted.
Well, I'll tell you this much, buddy. I saw a lot of guys lose their lives over in Korea. And
I saw a lot of them, too.
And that's a fine how do you do, not giving me a parade.
Well,
These guys on the coal.
We were lucky ones to come back. And we were
They're
serving our country.
They're spraying starch on their shirts, and they get blown up, and they get a parade.
Oh, you're really onto this parade thing, aren't you? I mean...
Well, I'm glad they got one, but I would have loved to have gotten one, too.
Well, how about an ice cream cone?
No, you don't get that if you're starching your shirt or playing... You get that when you play dominoes. Isn't that right, buddy?
Well...
What Navy were you in?
U.S. Navy.
U.S. Navy.
Okay. I was in the Canadian Navy.
Well, that's all right, but... If you talk to the average veteran of the Navy of the Korean War,
we're not looking for
any.
All right, thank you, sir, for your call. What are you trying to do?
What
are you trying to do?
The guy wasn't.
I heard what the guy was saying. All right, let's go to South Texas on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay.
Need to turn your radio down, dear.
Turn
the radio down. Yeah.
Okay. Turn the radio.
Hello.
Down.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
South Texas, you're on the air.
Okay. Sir,
yeah.
You're being selfish.
Selfish.
You want more and more. It doesn't
more.
Matter
I didn't get
what
anything.
You're doing when you're in the military. The purpose of joining the military is to defend your country, right?
A lot of those guys took R&R in Tokyo.
What you're doing.
They got a geisha deal going there. I had to go straight home to my wife.
Everybody
and I can
has
tell you, buddy,
sir.
That sucks.
Okay? That's the purpose of joining the military is to defend the country. No matter what is going on, you know that you have your life on the line.
How come when a guy wakes
times.
Up? How come because a guy gets up, puts his slippers and robes on, and goes out to get the paper, he gets blown up and he goes home?
Because he's in the military.
Because he's in the military.
You already got recognized, sir. You had your little parade.
I
Sorry
get, no.
It gets bigger and bigger.
No, but that's what I'm saying. The parade
because
we had.
You're being selfish.
The parade.
That's what you're saying. Earlier, you said that you had a small parade.
Yes, they
Why
gave us.
Why didn't you get a big parade? Well, sir, be thankful that you got recognized. Be grateful for what you have and what you got.
No, but I'm saying the parade I had three marching bands and one float.
What kind of parade
and the Gulf War parade had four floats.
You had a parade,
wait
right?
a minute. Are you worried about how many floats you had in your parade?
Mr. Henry, we had one float and three. Oh, now she's laughing. Now
yes,
you think
sir,
the
you're
death of veterans.
Selfish.
How am I selfish when I wanted to get two or three more floats in our parade?
How many floats are in the parade for these USS Cole kids?
Oh, my God, it's going to be the Rose Parade. The Rose Parade is what they're going to get. A band, a bowl game, everything. And I think it's bad.
Thank
sir,
you, ma'am.
That's the fact of joining the military. It doesn't matter what you're doing. The fact that you're in the military, your life is on the line.
I don't
you
get
never
it.
Know what's going to happen.
All
and
right.
when they die... When they were not actually fighting.
You know, who am I talking to here? Farrah Fawcett? What do you know about it? You're driving a truck.
My husband used to be in the Navy.
The
so
parade
I know
that
what
we
it's
had.
Like, sir.
You know, when I had my parade, we
it
had the Boy Scouts
if you're
in it.
Fighting or not.
And
the fact that you're in the military, sir.
And the Cole Parade's going to have the Dallas Cowgirls in it. And we had the Boy Scouts? Oh, that
you're
hurts.
That hurts. You want girls.
That hurts.
Look it, man. The Dallas Cowgirls weren't around when the Korean War, you know.
Bull crap.
Well.
You're very selfish.
Yeah, you already told me that.
All right.
Well, yeah, because you want bigger and better things.
Wouldn't any man?
Well.
Okay.
It depends on what it is. So
you
it
got it,
very
baby.
Immature, but
you
you're
got
talking
it.
About floats.
All right, you are being very immature. And the fact that.
Are you a war veteran, sir?
No, I'm not.
Then shut up.
This lady isn't.
Yeah, but she's got a pair. Now.
Okay, that's. I'm hanging up on him. Thank you very much for your call, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so there you go. Bigger and better things. My parade had a float in the Boy Scouts. All right, thank you to the men and women. We're glad that you're fine, that they found you, that you're all right on the USS Cole. All right, now it's time to present to you our password of the day. Now, this is where you are going to find out what our password is, and you're going to be able to...
And another thing, I want to...
Get out of here! And you're going to have... you're going to have time to fax us with your home telephone number and today's password. Then we will select winners randomly from those faxes. So, it's time to announce today's password to win tickets to see my live show on November the 2nd in the Museum of Television and Radio. Today's password is Mongo Chow. Today's password is Mongo Chow. Fax in your name, your home telephone number, and the password Mongo Chow to 213-487-0058. That's 213-487-0058. Winners will be randomly selected from today's entries. And good luck from the Phil Henry Show. One 800 449 8686 is the Phil Henry Show. So tomorrow we're getting flu shots, huh? I guess I'm going to do it. I haven't had a flu shot. I've never had one of those, and I don't know whether it's effective or not. Have you guys? So the crew, we're all going to go downstairs tomorrow and get flu shots. I had this stinking cold that started about 3 weeks ago, and it is, you know, went into my throat and my chest and my head, went into my toes, went into my ear, just one ear, not even in my ear, just the outside of my ear. I don't mind getting shots. I just, what I understand is that if you get the flu shot, sometimes you'll become symptomatic, you know. These flu shots are very interesting. People say to me, I get the flu shot every year. What happens? I get the flu, but I just do it as a It could have been worse. Could have been worse. You got the flu after you get the flu shot? Well, yeah, because, you know, you get the some of the symptoms from the shot itself. See, the way that you get you don't get the flu is you take a flu shot and it gives you the flu. Oh, well. It's a dead virus that they inject into you, the theory being that you are now immunized against the live virus that will somehow find its way into your body by breathing the air, drinking the water, or deep tongue-kissing someone. See? Yeah, I got it. And then you don't get the flu. Well, hell, let's take that. So tomorrow, downstairs, right? We'll go get the flu shot. Oh, upstairs. We'll go and get it. I don't know. Maybe I ought to call my mommy and tell her. I don't want to. You know, I used to give blood every year. And they used to have the blood mobile all over the place. And I would, you know, the Red Cross. And you'd lay out there. Those poor guys like pulling teeth. Because a lot of people are afraid of needles. They don't want to do that thing. It's a very nice thing to do. Get a little bit of blood, you know, boom, boom, boom. During the Gulf War, I remember when we were up doing our show in Ventura. And I was just starting out doing this talk radio thing. And I said, well, I think a nice thing to do was, it's the Gulf War, let's have a blood drive. That way the audience that wants to lynch me won't be so, they hated my guts. The audience hated my, when I first went on the air in Ventura, they hated my living guts, as generally happens with most new cities that I'm in. They hate my guts for a while, and they like me. And they hated my living guts. Well, I said, okay, let's put our differences aside. The Gulf War was on. Let's give blood. We're going to have a blood drive, and they announced it throughout the entire station. And what I found interesting, because I was against the Gulf War, I was very vocally against it throughout the time I was on the air. I just thought it was one of those oil wars. I wasn't. They weren't jiving me at all, man, and they still ain't, okay? The Gulf War was very nice. Thank you for the yellow ribbons, but it was a load, as far as I'm concerned. Not that anybody's paying any attention, but that's just what I thought. So I said, but however, let's put our differences aside. Let's have some blood. How many people do you think showed up? Oh, they knew that I was having a blood drive. Maybe a half, you know, maybe 20 people. These chickens up there, all these waving their flag and tying their yellow ribbons, these gutless wonders wouldn't come up to give a little blood? No, 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 no. And I even had some old hag call my show, and this is what she says. She says, look at this. Craig Taylor is informing me he's not allowed to give blood because he lived in malaria-infested Philippines. Well, we won't hold that against you. Is that right? Have you got malaria in you now?
No.
Or are you just glad to see me? Really?
The chance of
malaria. Well, there's some old bag called my show, and she said, something along the lines of, you shouldn't give blood to the American Red Cross because they're taking blood from San Francisco where it's not being screened, and it could have the AIDS virus. And it was right on the air she said that. That's when I first learned that I would never again give any real respect to any talk radio caller. Because she was this old hag under the guise of loving her country and being a grandma and being a good citizen. She called up and she was going to spread this horrible rumor, which was already going around, that, you know, the American Red Cross was not screening its blood for HIV. And she even, you know, compounded the problem by saying that it was coming from San Francisco, where all those fags are giving their blood. And so, in other words, under the guise of being this nice, sweet lady who calls up the talk radio show, she was this horrible, horrible, foul old witch spreading this rumor, right? And I made my mind up. I got home that night. I said, never again will I have faith or trust anything that anyone says to me when they call my show. Now, many people are decent, sweet, and some people I give more credibility to than others. But for the most part, you know, you got to really, you got to watch it, man. And that's the other thing, too, you know, when people call up and tell you, yes, Mr. Henry, my son died in a Zeppelin explosion, so why are you making fun of the Hindenburg? And I found that they're lying, too, a lot of times. People will call up and they'll say that their son died in a Zeppelin explosion because they can't argue your point about the Hindenburg. So they'll just say their kid died in a Zeppelin explosion, and they'll circumvent the intellect and go straight for the emotion. So that's when I learned another valuable lesson. Screw all you people to call up and tell me your kid died in a Zeppelin accident, because I won't believe you. Anyway, getting back to the flu shot, we're going to get ours tomorrow. And then we're going to go with Craig Taylor back over to the Fox lot and slowly cruise the X-Files set, which is what he's been doing. I'm just kidding. Although what were you trying to tell me? Well, the season premiere is when? Last week was the season premiere of X-Files. So Craig works over on the Fox lot, and, you know, he's a great guy and a hard worker, but he's such a fan of the X-Files, he wanted to see what the set was going to look like, to see what the opening episode for the season would be. So he was sort of just very lazily driving his little car past the set, popping the top off a Yoo-Hoo, drinking and looking around, scratching his armpit, and the guys on the X-Files set are like, say, what's up, man? What? I'm not doing anything. They're stopping, and they're looking at him. Because they know that Taylor's cruising the set. Because he wants to see what the X-Files set looks like. So did you watch it last week?
Yes, I think it was
Okay? You didn't? So you're cruising the X-Files set and you missed the whole stinking X-Files, huh? That is so weird, man. But being over there is kind of interesting when you see what everybody's doing and stuff. And I've had the opportunity to do a couple of King of the Hills. And I remember I did a King of the Hill over there, and then we had to break for lunch, and we went over to the commissary, which is the Fox Studio Commissary. Well, what that is it's a wonderful cafeteria is what it is. It's a beautiful place where you can get your food. Well, unfortunately, they were having a problem. One of the cafeteria or commissaries was being renovated. So everybody had to cram over into the little one. And that's when you saw actor and actress crammed right in there with Grip and Best Boy. And, you know, I'm sorry, but I can't say Grip and Best Boy in the same sentence. I can't do it. I won't do it. How do you put Best Boy and Grip into the same sentence? How about a Best Boy Grip? Or would you like to grip the Best Boy? And maybe that's why he's the Best Boy. In any event, we went over there, and it was packed, man. Crammed in there, all those people crammed in. David Duchovny and some slob with a freaking John Deere baseball cap and everything. And because they were doing all of their renovations over there, they were ripping out the street. I don't know what the hell it was they were doing. It took like 5 years to get onto that lot, but it was really great. And I haven't been invited back since. Because they were moving people around. Any event, I want to tell you about our casino night, which is going to be happening on November the 4th. Casino Night 2000, November the 4th. And it begins at 7 p.m. The Phil Henry Show and My Friend's Place present Dwight Yoakam at the Santa Monica Museum of Flying November 4th. All of the money goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids. Tickets, yes, the tickets are $250. However, you get a great night. Casino night, meaning there's going to be like crap tables, and there's going to be roulette, and there's going to be blackjack, and there's going to be poker, and all of the money goes to benefit My Friend's Place, and you'll have the kicks of being there with all these heavyweight people. Plus, they'll, I'm sure, have another silent auction, some really cool things that they auction off. Tickets are $250 per person. They can be purchased by calling My Friend's Place Casino Night at 323-908-0011, extension 102, or mailing a check to Post Office Box 3867, Hollywood, California, 90078. And along with that information, we also have the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, album, I should say, coming January 1st, the most innovative radio program in the history of radio turns the internet on its ear. The Phil Henry Show broadcasts the Tournament of Roses Parade, unedited and uncensored. Coming New Year's Day, it's a special live internet audio webcast featuring all of our favorite guests. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to hear The Phil Henry Show with Harvey Wireman, Margaret Gray, and R.C. Collins without limits. You can't hear it on radio. You can't see it on TV. Listen via the internet. For only $4.95. Go to www.philhenryshow.com for details. By the way, we're retooling our website. I met the great Keith Rowland today, and we got a new webmaster. So things are moving along just swimmingly. And then what else? Yeah, the one-man show, and then what else? Is that it? Okay. And are we getting faxes on our secret word? Good. 1-800-449-8686. Oh, yeah, then we have a pool tournament, but that's something else. Phil Henry Show.